Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 799 to close at 25,027. S&P 500 down 90 to finish at 2,700. NASDAQ down 283 at 7,158. Russell 2000, the small and mid-caps, off 68 points at 1,480. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 7 basis points at 2.92%. Oil down 34 cents at $52.61 per barrel. And gold up $7.70 at $12.39 per ounce. The Dow's loss, 3.1%, sent the industrials back below the 50-day moving average, just one day after that index climbed above that key line. The NASDAQ Composite punished by a 3.8% plunge. The S&P 500 down 3.2%. Both fell below their 200-day moving averages. NASDAQ now appears to have hit resistance at its 50-day line. For its part, the S&P 500 also turned back below its 50-day moving average after all of one day above it. The Dow managed to hold support at 25,000. The S&P found a floor at 2,700. Tech stocks are back in correction territory after a very painful day for the public exchanges. In total, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Alphabet-owned Google, lost more than $140 billion in market value by the end of trading today. Here's how it shook out. Facebook down 2.2%, losing $7.6 billion of market cap. Amazon down 5.9%, losing $50.8 billion. Apple down 4.4%, losing $38.5 billion in implied market value. Netflix down 5.2%, lost $6.5 billion in market cap. And Alphabet down 4.8%, losing $37.5 billion in implied market value. Amazon and Netflix, though, they're each up more than 40% year-to-date despite getting caught in this rout. Alphabet hanging on to modest year-to-date gains. It's up just a fraction of a percent for 2018. Regional banks dipped into bear market territory as long-term interest rates dropped. Shares of SunTrust, Citizens Financial, Fifth Third Bank Corp, Regions Financial all fell more than 5%. The Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF lost 5.5%, fell into bear market territory, more than 20% off the all-time high notched back in June. The ETF posted its worst day since June 2016. You remember Brexit. Larger banks, including Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup, they all dropped more than 4%. When the yield curve steepens, banks get to take advantage of a bigger spread between the rate at which they borrow and the rate at which they lend. We'll have more on the yield curve in just a moment. Last Wednesday, we saw a big rally on Wall Street in anticipation of some sort of resolution of the trade war with China. Today's losses wiped out the gain from last week. Now, over the weekend, Trump met with Chinese President Xi Jinping, and after dinner, they announced a deal. Trump called it extraordinary. No, it wasn't. At best, it was a modest compromise. Trump agreed to temporarily hold off on increasing tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods in exchange for China purchasing a still-to-be-defined amount of American-made products. Trump declared that China had agreed to reduce and remove tariffs on cars coming into China from the U.S., and he wrote that China intends to start purchasing agricultural products immediately from the U.S. To be clear, there is not a signed agreement. China is not buying more agricultural products, at least not yet. The existing tariffs, already in place, will remain in place. None of the current tariffs have been canceled or rescinded or trimmed. The deal just says nobody will jack up tariffs for 90 days. And it's not a written deal, by the way. And that's just a pause in the escalation. This morning, Trump tweeted, "President Xi and I want this deal to happen, and it probably will, but if not, remember, I am Tariff Man. When people or countries come in to raid the great wealth of our nation, I want them to pay for the privilege of doing so. Make America rich again." All right, stop for just a moment. And remember that tariffs are taxes paid by American consumers and companies. You do not get rich paying taxes. Trump added that a 90-day timetable for negotiators to reach a deeper agreement had begun, and that his aides would see whether or not a real deal with China is actually possible. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin put a fine point on the pseudo-deal, saying China agreed to buy $1.2 trillion of U.S. products, but he added, if that's real. If that's real? Why, sure, the deal with China is as real as Tariff Man. What the hell is that? Seriously, what the hell is Tariff Man? Tariff Man is the fiscally irresponsible superpower whose superpower seems to be the ability to make White House officials contort like pretzels to reconcile Trump's tweets, which seem, if not completely fabricated, then grossly exaggerated, and they have to reconcile those tweets with reality. Trump tweeted, "China has agreed to reduce and remove tariffs on cars coming into China from the U.S. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow then made the media rounds and said, "I believe that commitment was made." Chinese officials haven't confirmed any car tariff agreement. The dinner was Saturday. Today is Tuesday. Kudlow needs to check his messages. The weekend is over, kids. Your assignment is due. Moody's Investor Services put an even finer point on the non-deal deal, saying, "We expect the relationship between the world's two largest economies to remain contentious. Narrow agreements and modest concessions in their ongoing trade dispute will not bridge the wide gulf in their respective economic, political, and strategic interest." Even if it is true that China has agreed to reduce U.S. car import tariffs to zero, which is not at all guaranteed, that might be better for other countries such as Japan, South Korea, Germany, than it is for the U.S. because of the rules of the World Trade Organization that bar countries from giving special perks to certain others. So, if Beijing lowers the tariff rate on U.S. autos to zero, it must do that for all other countries that want to sell their vehicles in the Chinese market. That still may increase the number of American cars sold in China, but other nations will likely be the ultimate winners. Tariff Man's other superpower seems to be the ability to convince soybean farmers that they must bankrupt the family farm. On agriculture, Kudlow could not say how China's agricultural product purchases would work, but said that his expectation is that China will roll back tariffs on goods quickly. Not sure if that clears it up. Trump tweeted that negotiations have already started. 40 minutes and five tweets later, he tweets, "Let the negotiations begin." Tariff Man's other superpower seems to be the ability to make stock prices plunge. Today was a lively sell-off. With a little help from a bond inversion hanging like the sword of Damocles over the markets. The thing the bond market most feared looks like it's starting to happen. Inversion between 3-year and 5-year notes and 2-year and 5-year notes, and traders think that means the widely watched 2 and 10-year will also soon invert. Now, the 2-year yield is 2.81%. And the 5-year yield is 2.80%. 10-year note yield dropped to 2.92% today, and that leaves the spread between the 2 and the 10 at just 11 basis points, flattening and trending toward inversion. An inversion of the 2 and 10-year yields has been a reliable recession indicator in the past. Not all inversions have led to a recession, but recessions have always been preceded by inversions. The timing could vary depending on the cycle, but it's typically a matter of months, not days or weeks, when such an event could happen. That might put the twos and tens inversion on the table by the end of the year, and if not, then maybe around the March FOMC meeting? Brexit. It's so 2016. So maybe you're wondering, well, what's the latest linguistic mashup to grace cable news networks? Here it is. Qatar, as in Qatar, is leaving OPEC for other oily pastures. Qatar isn't alone in turning a back to the Saudis. A bipartisan group of senior senators said that a classified briefing by the CIA director had only solidified their belief that Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, ordered the killing of Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi. Senator Bob Corker said if Mohammed bin Salman were in front of a jury, he'd be convicted for murder in 30 minutes. Of course, Corker is retiring. He can say whatever he wants. Minutes earlier, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Trump ally, told reporters that the crown prince is complicit in the journalist's killing. Graham also said he would not support arms sales to the kingdom as long as MBS remains in charge. Now, there's a Senate bill to stop all U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war in Yemen, putting it up for a vote maybe as soon as next week, but neither Graham nor Corker would commit to voting for it. The question now is what senators or Trump will do. And from the looks of things, not much. Oil prices climbed from recent lows ahead of a meeting Thursday and Friday among OPEC and other major producers led by Russia, who are expected to make a deal to cut coordinated output levels. Today was just an ugly day on Wall Street. A crash, really. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 799 points, finishing the session at 25,027. S&P 500 index dropped 90 to close at 2,700. The NASDAQ down 283 at 7,158. And the Russell 2000 down 68 at 1480. Of course, the 10-year note yield is down to 2.92%. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. And check out our daily blog, eatthebankers.com. Text, audio, much more, all free at eatthebankers.com.